There are two strong characters in this parable that Jesus told. Two strong negative characters. We, as 21st century hearers, have already made a decision about which one of the two is the good guy and which one is the bad guy. It's interesting because the first century hearer would not have jumped to the same conclusion. As a matter of fact, if we were face to face with the first century hearer, they'd be pretty surprised by our conclusion. See, we've heard what Jesus had to say about Pharisees in general in his many experiences in his life. The gospel writers, through many stories and many occurrences, have painted the Pharisees with a pretty negative brush. So, whenever a story begins, two Pharisees went into a bar, we're pretty sure that one, if not both of them, is going to get in trouble. We've already made up our minds. We already know it won't turn out well for either Pharisee because they're Pharisees. And in our understanding, the Pharisees are pretty much always the bad guys. But the first century hearers of this parable would have been surprised. Surprised at the ending. Surprised at the description that Jesus used. The Pharisee was a respected religious leader, while the tax collector was viewed as a leech on society and a traitor because he worked for Rome. Over the many years, many Christians, me included, have been indoctrinated to see the Pharisee as a villain or perhaps a symbol of hypocrisy. We all seem to know what it means to be Pharisaical, and it's not a good thing. But the truth is, Pharisees were a lot like good church folk who were committed to their faith and a life of holiness. They went to worship regularly. They gave their tithes without hesitation. They tried to follow the law to the best of their ability. Theologically, they would fit very nicely in a Presbyterian church. Without question, they'd be a ruling elder. Basically, the Pharisees' job was to teach the people the interpretation of Torah, the law, so that the people would believe this unjust way that their society operated was society as God designed and intended for it to be. In other words, if you're a good Jew, then you'll be obedient to the Torah. You'll pay your taxes and tolls. You'll never question it. And that's the way the Pharisees behaved. They were obedient to the Torah as they understood it. And they paid their taxes to Rome. And they paid a tenth of their income to the temple. All good stuff. The tax collector, on the other hand, coerced people into giving him extra money that went towards making his life comfortable. The average local tax collector was also, in essence, the town bully. He took unfair advantage of the people and was often physically abusive. He had a certain percentage that each person was required to pay in tax, but only he knew what that percentage was. And it varied from person to person. So he might tell one person that their amount of tax was X, and tell another person that it was Z. Then he gave the correct amount of that tax to Rome. And whatever else he was able to garner on top of that, he kept. So in essence, what we have in this parable is two bad guys. And both of these bad guys came into the temple to pray. And no matter how much we want to be fair, no matter how badly we try to be impartial, we take sides. We just do. We want to be connected with the better one. I wonder why. I wonder why we always have to take somebody's side. Why do we always want to compare ourselves to something or someone else? Except the minute we compare ourselves to one or another, or hold a desire to be one or the other, judging who is better, we become the Pharisee. And I can't speak for all of us, but I don't really want to be the Pharisee. There are a lot of people in this world whom I tend to judge, even though I might not say it out loud. Oh, wait, I just did. There are people that I or we have labeled as bad people, the ones who are on opposite sides from the one that we're on. My inbox has been flooded, I mean flooded, with political propaganda for several months now. Hateful, name-calling, finger-pointed, blame-covering propaganda. People are so certain who's at fault. And to prove their worth, they've sided with one or the other, and they've vilified the other side. You've gotten the same messages. You may have sent some of those messages. How is that helpful? Sending messages and calling names and pointing fingers, didn't it simply make us feel more right than the other side? More intelligent, more logical, more correct? And we can pray about it till the cows come home. But something about them just rubs us the wrong way. How could they possibly think like that? And when we begin to think about it, it's not just an opinion, because we're absolutely certain that we are better than they are. How's that for being Pharisaical? And perhaps you're thinking, but didn't Jesus tell us who had the better prayer at the end? Didn't Jesus tell us what we should be like by letting us know how God justified the tax collector? And I suppose the answer is yes, he did. And if we're praying like the tax collector and acknowledging who we really are, what we have done, imploring God to be merciful with us, with no self-justification, no scapegoating, no blame shifting, no comparison, then we too can go home justified. But here's the thing. When we get up from that prayer and wipe the tears from our faces, we need to realize that God isn't about who's better than, who's smarter than, who's prettier than, who's richer than, who's holier than. God doesn't discriminate. And God does not compare us with one another. The Pharisee approached God boldly and began to look in what used what began to look like a praise hymn. I thank you, God. But then the prayer changed and it became a distortion of a prayer hymn. Because it turned from I thank you, God, to I thank you, God, that I'm so terrific. Like God should be impressed and grateful to have the Pharisee on God's team. By contrast, the tax collector didn't stand up or even look up to heaven, but he beat his own breast, fully aware that he approached God as a sinner. His prayer was different. He hung his head as he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. There was no self-congratulation, no summary of his good deeds, no mention of his accomplishments on God's team. But here's what I want you to hear. If your mind has wandered, that's okay. Come on back now. Your relationship with God has nothing to do with how terrible other people are. Your relationship with God has nothing to do with how terrible other people are. As you know, you're often asked to identify who you are in the stories that Jesus tells. Do you know who you are in this one? It might surprise you today. Do you know who we are? We at the First Presbyterian Church of Henderson? People? We are the Pharisees. We are the church leaders. We are the ones that come to worship every Sunday. We are the ones that put money in the plate. We are the ones who serve on committees. We are the ones who do the mission work. We are the ones. We are the Pharisees of the 21st century. Well, as we could pound our chests and talk about all our sinfulness all we want, at the end of the day, we're generally pretty pleased that God chose us to lead this church, because we're doing a mighty fine job. Let me tell you something. We are the Pharisees, and we are not fooling God. Not for one little minute. Those poor people who come to our neighborhood party, and aren't they lucky that we hold that every year for them? They come because they want the prizes. They come because they want a free meal. They come to come inside and see how our church looks. We'll just be nice to them for the afternoon. Or we won't come to the party at all. We'll just give a few gifts that can be given away, because we didn't want those things anyway, and they could probably use them. Yeah, poor souls. They're lucky God chose us to be in the family. We are the people of God. Humility is a realistic assessment of who I am. A realistic assessment of who I am in the eyes of God. Did you catch that last phrase? Without the last phrase, the statement is simply another expression of the secular world's view. Not in my eyes, not in my mother's eyes, not in the eyes of my grandchildren, but in the eyes of God. Ask the question, who am I in the eyes of God? Isn't that a humility-inducing question? The beginning of an authentic spiritual life is to connect with who we are in the eyes of God. The journey of an authentic spiritual life is to stay in touch with who we can become in the eyes of God. The Pharisee of the New Testament has frequently received a bad rap. Pharisees today would be great neighbors. They would certainly not cause your property values to drop. They're moral, they're upstanding, they're very religious people who pay their taxes and vote in elections and serve on juries whenever they're called. This parable is a radical statement about the nature of grace. It's hard for people who depend on their own goodness to gain God's approval to hear about grace. It often doesn't make sense. Well, grace isn't logical. To depend 100% on the grace of God is to admit that I bring nothing to the table that impresses God or allows me to earn God's favor or God's blessing. And that's the point. It's a common tendency to define oneself by defining others. Such a stance means that to respect ourselves, we have to beat others. We have to run them down. We have to be taller than they are and better than they are and faster than they are. It's a game people play, building up a group identity or joining in a chorus of condemnation of others. Aren't they just awful? It's a kind of fellowship criticism which gives those who indulge in it a sense of closeness, standing together against a common enemy. It's common at wartime, common at crisis time. It's also the joy of gossip. And so I remind us again, my relationship with God has nothing to do with how terrible other people are. Then I ask myself once more, who am I in God's eyes? We do our good duty and confess our sins every Sunday morning, right here in worship, where we belong. We put our check into the plate. We serve the church on committees, and we give to mission work around the world. Well, hooray for us. And boo to those who don't follow the rules like we do. Our justification is not obtained by doing things, even good things. In fact, it's not achieved at all. At least not by us. Justification comes through God's reaching out in mercy to helpless sinners. My relationship with God has nothing to do with how terrible other people are. My relationship with God comes because of God's grace, because God first loved me, because Emmanuel became incarnate to lead me, to God. God have mercy on me, a sinner.